Hebrews chapter 6. Stand with me, please, one more time. I will read just a few verses here. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Whew. Well, there's a lot of preaching in verse 2. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Now, if you didn't catch that, that's what happened when you got saved.
Amen. Yes.
You were enlightened about the grace of God. You tasted of the heavenly gift in your spirit. You were made partaker of the Holy Ghost. You tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Listen, that's what God did when you got saved.
That's right.
It's impossible, though, verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. Now listen, pay attention. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Let's leave off reading there, and I'm going to try to preach to you. Verse 1 says, not laying again this, the foundation of repentance. The foundation of repentance. Heavenly Father, I pray for your help tonight. Lord, I'm so thankful, God, for your sovereignty, your perfect will, your perfect ways, this perfect word that we have before us. Lord God, a church family. Lord God, the Holy Spirit that fills our hearts. Father, thank you that there's such a sweet spirit in this place. God, please bless your word. Help me, Father, to strengthen your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I mean, you may be seated. The foundation of repentance. I want to try to preach a message with a twofold purpose tonight. We're still kind of talking about Jesus is better than sin, and that was Wednesday night's message, and I'm trying to kind of continue that, but really, Jesus is better than sin. That helps us understand the doctrine of repentance. To understand that Jesus is better than the sin of the world and the sin in our hearts will help us better understand this doctrine, which the Bible says is the foundation of salvation. The foundation of salvation is repentance. And so I want us to know that Jesus is better than sin. And see, to know that, listen now, that's what brought about repentance in your heart.
Yeah, that's right.
Again, let me say that to you again. I don't want to go too fast. But the reason you got saved is, if you're truly born again tonight, the reason you got saved is because you realized that Jesus was better than your sin.
That's right.
Amen. And see, that is the key. That is the foundation of salvation. The foundation of salvation. You say, well, preacher, it's not just sin that causes people to not get saved. Oh, listen, I want you to understand. Yes, it is. You turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me show you something here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, this is talking about future events after the rapture. And I'm just going to jump over to verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. I'm just making a point, and we'll go right back to Hebrews 6. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That means the Antichrist is coming. That's who he's talking about there. Power and signs and lying wonders. We have to be very careful not looking for signs, because the devil is going to show signs, and that's how he's going to notice. Verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. All deceivable. That's total deception of unrighteousness. That's making people believe that unrighteousness is better.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what the devil does.
Yeah.
That's how he works.
That's right.
With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, in them that are not saved.
Yeah.
They are, notice, because, look, now in verse 10, they received not the love of the truth. That they might be saved.
Yep.
They believed that their unrighteousness was better than the truth of the love of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the devil makes people believe with all deceivableness of unrighteousness that, and therefore they're still perishing in condemnation of sin. Verse 11. For this cause, because of this, because they chose unrighteousness, because they believed the deceiving signs and power and lies of the devil, God in the tribulation, now listen, shall send them strong delusion. God sending that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth.
Amen.
Why did they not believe the truth? Look, but they had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Yep, that's right. Come on, brother.
The only reason that someone rejects Jesus Christ, dearly beloved, is because they have pleasure. They want more. They believe that sin is more pleasurable than the truth.
That's right.
You need to stop making. There's no other reason in this Bible.
That's right.
The foundation of salvation is repentance of sin, and that is the only reason they do not repent, because it's not that these people here have heard the truth in 2 Thessalonians.
Right.
God is not going to do this to people who have never heard the truth. But when they hear the truth of the love of God and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they believe the deceptions of the devil, the Bible says they have more pleasure in unrighteousness. Therefore, they're perishing.
That's right.
Yep.
So what God's trying to say to you back in Hebrews 6 and say to us tonight is that the foundation of my salvation is I have repented and I've turned away from that unrighteousness.
Amen. Yeah.
I have realized that Jesus is better.
Amen. Yeah.
Because after all, Jesus is truth. Jesus is life. Jesus is salvation. Jesus is the grace of God. But listen to me, there's one thing in this world that pulls people away from Jesus, and that's sin.
That's right.
Because the flesh has pleasure in sin. The flesh is pleased to dwell in sin.
That's right.
So if I'm going to be saved, if anybody's going to be saved, they're going to have to repent of that sin and turn to Jesus. That's the foundation.
Amen.
That's the foundation of salvation. Now, that's not salvation, but that's the foundation of it. If you go back to Hebrews 6, verse 1 says that the foundation of repentance from dead works, from sin. Listen, people think that they're working their way to heaven. It's dead works. It's death.
That's right.
It's perishing. But you turn from that and a faith towards God.
Yep.
Faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same thing that Acts 20:21 says. Repentance toward God, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So my salvation is not my repentance.
That's right.
But it's the foundation of it. Without a foundation, there's nothing else.
Yeah, man.
There's nothing else. You are not saved tonight, dearly beloved, if you did not repent of your sin. If you did not in your heart have a God-given desire, I am sick and tired of iniquity. I am sick and tired of unrighteousness. That sin is condemning me to everlasting fire. I do not want that anymore. I have desired Jesus. And then by the grace of God, He saw my heart. And He gave me salvation.
Amen.
Now, you may not have been as zealous as I just demonstrated, but there definitely had to be.
Yeah, that's right.
A heartfelt repentance of sin.
That's right.
That's the foundation of salvation.
Amen.
But understand something. That turning to God from sin than Jesus saving you, God giving you salvation. That's why salvation changes lives.
That's right.
Because see, a lot of people are tired of sin. They're tired of the, let me say this, they're tired of the results or the consequences of sin. They're tired of what sin brings and the sorrow and the sadness, but yet they don't really want to leave it.
Right.
Yeah.
They still have pleasure in it. They just don't want it to hurt them anymore.
Yeah.
That's not repentance.
Amen. That's right.
That's right.
That's worldly sorrow.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
I'm going slow, but that's not repentance. 2 Corinthians 7, don't turn there. 2 Corinthians 7 says that godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. But the sorrow of this world worketh death.
That's right.
A guilty conscience is not what I'm talking about.
That's right.
A desire to leave that sin behind, and then when God sees that heart, He gives the everlasting life, the gift of God of salvation. That's though the foundation of it all is this repentance.
Amen.
Turning from the sin in the world, the sin in your heart. That's why true Bible salvation says, old things are passed away.
Yeah.
In other words, they're dead to me.
Yeah,
right.
God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is dead unto me, and I am dead unto the world.
Yeah.
That's the cross of Calvary that brings that repentance in my heart. I realize He died for that sin. I don't want to continue in the things that put Him on the cross. The blood of Jesus is on my hands. I don't want to go back. I turn from it all. I don't want it anymore. Give me Jesus.
Come on, brother preacher.
And that's why Bible salvation changes your whole life. Because it starts with a repentant heart.
That's right.
The foundation of salvation. But listen to me. A hard heart thinks sin is better.
Yeah, that's right.
A hard heart, listen now, can convince itself that Jesus doesn't care if they continue in sin.
Yeah, come on.
Right.
Let that sink in a minute.
That's right.
I'm going to show you scripture to prove what I just said. A hard heart doesn't think that Jesus cares that they continue in sin. What they do is they have convinced themselves, remember, through the deceivableness of unrighteousness, through the depths, the lies of Satan, your heart can be so hard and deceived that you think that you can just get saved and go on in sin.
Yeah.
That is not Bible salvation.
Yeah. That's right.
That's not the foundation of salvation.
Amen. Yep.
Look in chapter 3 of Hebrews, verse 12. I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove what I just said to you. Chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, this is written to brethren, but the problem is still the same.
Right.
It's an evil heart of unbelief. After I'm saved, I can still have my heart hardened. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But see, even in lost people, the heart is still the issue.
That's right.
The heart is still the issue. And it's an evil heart of unbelief. And that evil heart of unbelief will cause a lost person to depart from the truth, from the love of the truth we just read in 2 Thessalonians. They will depart from the salvation that God gives them as a free gift through the blood of Jesus, the salvation that only the Jesus can give them, but their hard hearts depart.
Yeah, come on. That's right. Yep.
They don't believe Jesus is better than sin.
Yeah.
Therefore, they depart from the living God. Look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the, here it is, the deceitfulness of sin. That's, there it is. That's Satan.
That's right.
The deceitfulness of sin. This evil heart, whether it's in a believer or it's in a lost person, still will depart from God. Now, once you're saved, you're saved. We'll talk about that in a minute. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about the fact that the problem's always the heart.
Right. That's right.
And my evil heart, the hardness of the heart comes from the deceitfulness of sin.
Right.
It's right there.
Amen.
Believing that sin isn't as bad as God says it is.
Yeah, come on.
They believe it, that it's not all that bad. It's really not that big of a deal. And therefore, what they're doing is they're calling God a liar.
Right.
That's right.
Because God says, oh yeah, it is. Sin is, listen to me. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. Sin is the only reason anybody will ever be in hell.
That's right.
That's right.
That's sin.
Absolutely right, brother.
That's it. That's the only thing. That's the only reason people are screaming in hell right now.
Yeah.
That's sin.
Amen.
Because they were deceived into believing it wasn't that bad. It's not that bad. This is exactly what happened to Eve in the Garden of Eden. If you think about it, God said, don't eat of that tree lest ye die. God said one thing. Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. Eve said, I think God is a liar. I believe Satan. And every time you choose sin, that's what you're saying.
That's right, brother.
And every time you choose sin, your heart gets a little bit harder. Every time a lost person hears the truth of the gospel, hears the salvation message of God, and turns away from it, it's because they don't see sin for what it is.
Right. That's right. That's absolutely right.
It's that serious.
Amen.
Sin is the only reason anybody will ever be in hell.
That's right.
Now, repentance is turning to the living God from the deceitfulness of sin.
Uh-huh.
That's what it is.
Amen.
That's what it is. There's two types of repentance in the Bible. Repentance unto salvation. If you go back to chapter 6, that's what it's talking about. Chapter 6, verse 1. The foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Verse 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. That is talking about the repentance unto salvation. This is the foundation, like I said. This happens once.
That's right.
This repentance unto salvation, this happens once. And I want you to understand something. The reason they said in verse 6, God says in verse 6, if they shall fall away, it's impossible to renew them again. That means that you cannot get saved again because you never lose salvation.
Right. Amen.
Don't miss this. Verse 4 says it is impossible. And then verse 6 is finishing the thought. It's impossible to renew them again unto this repentance. In other words, it's impossible to get saved again because you never lose it.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Okay? But this repentance unto salvation must happen at least once or you're not saved.
That's right.
Or you're not saved. This happens once, but what brings about this repentance is the cross.
Amen.
The cross. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Because it's all about that death, that suffering, that blood.
Yeah.
And that is, like I said this morning, the only reason he hung there is because of my guilty, sinful hands.
Right.
Yep.
Look in verse 6. If they shall fall away, that doesn't mean they lose their salvation. That means they depart from the victory in Jesus in this life. That means they depart from the rewards in heaven. That means they depart from being faithful and loyal to God. That doesn't mean that they lose their salvation, because the Bible says they cannot be renewed again. But look what it says in verse 6. The reason they can't be renewed again is because you can't crucify the Son of God over and over and over.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Okay, do you understand what God's trying to say here? You can't crucify the Son of God afresh. And look what it says. Look how it's worded, though. No, don't miss this. Verse 6. Seeing they crucify to themselves.
Yeah.
The Son of God afresh. It's not possible. Jesus is not going to die again and again and again and again because of your hard heart.
Right. That's right, brother. Yeah. That's right.
Okay? If you don't get saved because of the cross, if you don't get saved because you understand sin hung him on that cross, if you don't get saved because you turn from your sin and repent and come to Christ for salvation, if you don't get saved in this life, you're never going to get saved. That's it.
Right.
But if you do get saved, you're not going to get saved again and go back to the cross and crucify Jesus and crucify Jesus. That is ridiculous. Salvation is once and forever and for eternity. And listen, it's impossible to get saved again because we're not going to ever crucify Jesus again. So what I'm saying is this. What God is saying here is the reason I repent of my sin is because I understand, I see the cross of Christ for what it really is. My sin.
Amen.
My sin. And when I'm presenting the gospel to people, when I'm trying to win them to Christ and witnessing and testifying, listen to me, I've got to make it clear that it was their sin that hung him on that cross.
Right.
This repentance unto salvation is also called repentance unto life. Look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Verse 18 says, when they heard these things, Acts 11 verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life.
Amen.
That's repentance unto salvation.
Right.
That's the one repentance that happens. It only happens one time. It happens one time. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long suffering toward us, to usward, not willing that any should perish in hell, but come to repentance. So that verse, 2 Peter 3:9, is just the same thing as John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, so the perishing is the only other alternative or repentance.
Yep, that's right.
That's it. The perishing or the repentance. That's it. You either repent or you perish.
That's right.
Man.
You repent of sin, dearly beloved. You don't just repent. You don't just feel sorry for your sins. You don't just want to. You don't just feel guilty. You have an unmistakable desire to leave it behind. I don't want it anymore.
Right.
That's why you get a new life. That's why, because God is not mocked. He's not going to let you carry around your sin and then claim the name of Christ. Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Amen.
We have a lot of people, religious people, and nothing's ever changed in their life.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
They wonder, what's the big deal? Church, Bible, prayer, giving money, are you serious? And listen to me, that's not a repentant heart.
That's right.
Now, the fact is, repentance unto life is repentance unto salvation that only happens once. Mark 1:15, just listen. Jesus himself preached this. He said, repent ye and believe the gospel.
Amen.
That's Jesus' words. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You can't believe the gospel for salvation until you repent of your sin.
Amen.
Acts 2:38, Peter then preached, repent and then be baptized.
Amen. Yeah.
Why? Because if you really repent of your sin, this water's not going to bother you. You're going to want to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
Sin is no longer pleasurable to you. Give me Jesus. If he wants me to get baptized, absolutely I'll get baptized.
Heaven.
Then in Acts 3:19, Peter preached again. He said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." That's changed.
Amen.
That's transformed. Dead, life. Darkness, light. Repent ye and be converted.
Amen.
Repentance unto life. But there's also a second type of repentance. Turn with me to the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Is everybody okay still?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Come on.
I'm doing a lot of teaching, but I'm doing a lot of preaching. You just hang on, okay?
Amen.
2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. This is another type of repentance. There's only two in the Bible. There's repentance unto salvation, those that are lost that need to be saved. And then there's repentance unto restoration.
Amen.
Those that are saved that need to get right. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. God says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face," notice, "and turn." That's repentance. But this is for God's people. This is not salvation. "Turn from their wicked ways," turn from their sin, "then," he says, "then," and only then, by the way, "will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." See, America, Christians, those of us who are saved in America need to understand, repentance unto salvation happens once, but there is a daily, there is a very continual need for us to repent unto restoration.
Amen, that's right. Come on, brother, preach it.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
See, this is necessary, this repentance in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, it's necessary as often as we allow ourselves to be deceived again.
That's right.
Do you understand something? Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is desperately wicked." Okay? "It is deceitful above all things."
That's right.
Deceitful, your own heart. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool.
Yep.
You say, "Well, follow your heart." You better get in your Bible, dearly beloved.
Amen.
You better not follow that wicked thing.
Yep.
You better follow that book.
Amen.
That's why God gave it to you. Because this, he said, "By thy counsels I will, thou will guide me." Not by my heart.
Right.
My heart is desperately wicked.
Yes, sir.
That means that sin nature in me is the most evil thing I will ever come across. It is deceitful above all things. And I have got to repent when I realize that I am choosing sin over my Savior.
Amen.
It's not a repentance unto salvation. It's not going back to the foundation. Again, you can't go back to the foundation. The Bible said it's impossible.
Amen.
Okay? You can't go back and get saved again. That's false doctrine. That's heresy. But you can repent and get restored into right fellowship.
Amen.
With your Lord.
Amen.
They're both repentance, though. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I appreciate y'all letting me preach. Amen. There is such a sweet spirit here tonight. I can tell y'all are listening. Amen. It's a blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought in me among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. I want you to see there, Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in reproaches, in verse 10, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Here's what happens. I want you to understand something. Paul was a believer. Paul was a preacher. Paul was a man of God. But he had to realize that when things come into my life that are trying to tempt me sorely and turn me away from Jesus, if I'll keep a repentant heart, I'll take pleasure even in those things that aren't so pleasurable.
Amen.
See what I mean? Repentance is being restored unto not salvation, but fellowship, where no matter what God does in my heart, see, the things that God brings into my life are testing my faith. They're trying me. They're trying to teach me that Jesus is better.
Amen. Amen.
Are you listening to me tonight? That's what God tries to do in our hearts. Teach us that Jesus is better. He's not trying to lead us into sin. He's trying to teach us. He wants to show us, okay? He wants to show us. Listen, trust me, he says, and I'll show you that I'm better than that sin.
Amen.
But you're going to have to keep that heart of repentance. You're going to have to keep that heart and keep turning away from your own heart, your own flesh, your own desires, your own will. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the be of man. That's what he said to Peter. Look in Revelation 3, verse 19. Revelation 3. I'm talking about repentance unto restoration. Repentance unto salvation, but then as a Christian, we need to continually repent and remind ourselves that Jesus is better.
Amen.
Revelation 3:19. He says to the church, the believers there in Laodicea, as many as I love, Jesus is speaking here, I rebuke and chasten. He says, be zealous therefore. And what? Repent. Amen. He's not talking about getting saved again.
Right.
Amen. He's talking about, look what it says here in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's on the outside.
Right.
If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Amen. We'll sup with him. That's fellowship.
Amen.
What he's saying is you have turned your hearts to the worldliness, the worldly ways. Laodicea is a picture of the very last church before the rapture.
That's right.
That's us. That's our generation. That's our. Now, I'm not saying our church, but that's the world in which we live.
Right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's the average Christian's take on sin. I don't need God. I've got everything I need. I've got everything I want. Who needs Jesus? Who needs all that preaching? Who needs church? Who needs to be faithful? Why should they have? Because they are deceived.
Right.
And Jesus says one thing. Listen, I love you, so I'm rebuking you so that you'll repent.
Yep.
And he says the reason you need to repent because I'm on the outside knocking to get in.
Uh-huh.
Wow, what's he trying to get in for? Not salvation,
right.
For fellowship.
Amen.
I will come in and sup with him.
Amen.
That's fellowship.
Yes, sir. Amen.
How's your fellowship with the Lord tonight?
Amen.
You can have it back.
Amen.
Amen. You can have it back, but you got to believe that Jesus is better, and then you got to turn from your wicked ways and come back to Him and open that door, let Him in.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah.
See, repentance unto salvation happens how many times, church?
Once.
It's impossible to renew that repentance.
Right,
it's
right.
One time. You don't get saved again.
Yeah.
Jesus ain't going back to the cross for anybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But this repentance unto restoration, it needs to happen as often as we find ourselves believing that sin is better. So how in the world could that happen? Oh, listen, come on. Take your halo off.
Amen. Yeah.
Daily. Daily. the world is trying to make you believe that sin is better. Daily they're pumping into your head images on billboards, images on television, songs and words from radio and other people and friends and co-workers and family, and they're just pumping into you this philosophy that sin is better. Sin is not that bad. It's not a big deal. And you have to, when you start believing that, and God says, I'm rebuking you right now because you're not following me, the fellowship is not what it used to be. Listen to me. What revival is you repenting and coming back to perfect fellowship.
Amen.
That's what revival is.
Amen.
Christians need revival. Lost people need salvation.
Yeah.
Christians need revival. Yeah. And revival should be a daily desire in our heart. Lord God, I turn from my, Lord, whatever it is, search me, oh God. I don't want sin. I want Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I want you to understand. Just look at it. Now, repentance unto salvation and repentance unto restoration. Two different types, but they all have very much in common. Quickly, number one, they proceed from the heart of God. Repentance is, God is the source of all genuine repentance.
Yeah, that's right.
Your heart is wicked.
Right.
Your heart's not going to turn from your evil ways. Not without God intervening.
That's right.
Amen.
See, repentance is a change of heart, and only God can do that.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? And repentance is a change of heart, and only God can do that. God is the source of all genuine repentance.
Right.
Why do you think it is that people get out of church and get angry at God and get bitter and quit on God, but yet they never read their Bibles, they never pray, they never go to church anymore? Oh. What they've done is they've turned their back on God. And God is the only source of genuine repentance. Therefore, Amen. Their lives are completely void of anything godly. I'm talking about Christians now.
Yeah,
I'm talking about here, but then I'm talking about lost people. It's the same thing. Yeah. Lost people that don't know the truth, or lost people that don't hear the presentation of the gospel from a spirit-filled, God-filled, Amen. Bold Christian telling the truth yeah. from the Bible, yeah. from the Word of God.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was the letter. Yeah, the letter he just read. They witnessed to this lady who'd been in church for years and never heard the gospel.
Yeah.
Well, why do you think that is? I mean, don't you think the devil knows if repentance comes from God, I got to get God out of the church?
Yeah.
I mean, people are making their way to church and being religious and feeling good about themselves, but there's no repentance because it only comes from God.
Amen.
He's the source of it all. Mark chapter 2, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It comes, Jesus has to call you. It comes from God. Look in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I know we're using our Bibles tonight, hallelujah, but again, it comes from God. It's got to be God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24. Second Timothy chapter 2, yes sir. Verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive. That means the preacher's not up here causing strife and fighting with you. I'm gentle to all men, apt to teach, and patient. Boy, y'all pray for me, okay? God's still working on me, amen. Patience is not my strength. In verse 25, in meekness, instructing those, notice, that oppose themselves. What Paul is telling Timothy here, what the Holy Spirit's telling us, is that when a person is choosing sin over salvation, they're opposing themselves. In other words, they're their only problem.
Right. Yeah.
They are their worst. They're the only reason they're not getting. They oppose themselves. Notice, we have to be apt to teach, gentle, patient, meekness, instructing. Why? If God, peradventure, or perhaps, will give them repentance.
Yeah.
See, God has to give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. This is repentance unto salvation.
Yeah. Amen.
But this is the same principle. Notice in verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil.
Yeah.
Yep. Notice the lost people who are taken captive by him, by the devil, at his will. A lost person has no power over Satan at all.
That's right.
Satan comes in and out of them like a revolving door.
Yes, sir.
And the only hope for that is repentance.
That's right.
That's what that says right there. But it's got to be God that gives them that repentance.
Right.
To where they finally acknowledge the truth. What's the truth? I'm a wicked sinner. Yeah. I am hell bound. I am condemned and doomed.
Yep.
And then when they realize that, they can recover themselves out of the snare, the deceitfulness of the devil who is just making fun of them, every mocking them every day of their lives.
Right. That's right.
But God has to give it to them.
That's right.
If you look in Luke 15 with me. Look in Luke 15. Luke 15. Verse 3. Luke 15, verse 3 says, He spake this parable unto them, Jesus speaking, of course, to the Pharisees, publicans, and sinners. He says, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness? And notice, go after that which is lost until he find it. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that, what? Repenteth. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. People that are already saved. Well, here's what I'm looking at. The sheep did not come back on his own.
Right.
The shepherd went to get him. But God calls it repentance.
Right.
Because you do not return to the shepherd on your own.
That's right.
It comes from God.
Amen.
Your salvation is not because you found God.
Right.
It's because he came after you.
Yes. Amen.
Right.
And then he brought you back. But listen, you understand, that sheep didn't come back. That shepherd found him, brought him back. God calls that repentance because he's the only one that can bring that in my heart. That can he comes to find me. He puts me on his shoulder. He takes me back. But listen to me. Understand something. It's a picture of me allowing him to bring me home. Only God can bring about repentance.
Right.
Only God can save you, and only God can bring you back to fellowship by rebuking you, chastening you, and letting you know, I'm out here knocking.
That's right.
Because you're not right. You're living and letting sin deceive you. You're going right back into the snare of the devil that I brought you out of. I'm out here knocking. And see, if Jesus ain't out there knocking, I'm not even going to think about it.
Right.
Amen.
If Jesus ain't rebuking me, I'm so wicked, I don't even think about it.
Amen.
So let me stop right there and preach for a second here, okay?
Come on.
Thank God for old-fashioned Bible preaching.
Amen.
That rebukes me.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, thank God for old-fashioned Bible preaching.
Amen.
That just hits me right between the square of the eyeballs.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because God is trying to bring about repentance that will restore you to fellowship.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You go to churches and all they do is sing Kumbaya and hold hands and dance around under the stars and the spotlights and rock music. Where in the world is God there? He ain't there. That's why ain't nobody repenting. Nobody's getting saved. All the sin of iniquity and the darkness is everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God for purity.
Amen. Amen.
The pure King James Bible, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, leading us to repent of filth and iniquity and come back to fellowship, come to salvation, and then stay there for fellowship.
Amen.
Prone to wonder, though, aren't we?
Yes.
Just like that sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. And he hath laid on him, on Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. That's good for salvation, but that's just as good for restoration.
That's right.
Because your heart's still prone.
That's right.
To wander.
Yeah.
Repentance proceeds from the heart of God. You would never repent if God did not rebuke you. If God did not come knocking on your heart's door, if God did not come looking for you, you would never return to Him.
Amen.
Your heart is wicked.
Amen.
Your flesh is worthless to God. It cannot ever please God.
Mm-hmm.
But that precious Holy Spirit, amen, oh
amen.
God,
amen.
That precious Holy Spirit in our heart just says, you know something, you're just not right. There's no sweet fellowship between you and me. You're betraying me right now. You're turning your back on me. Come back to me. I love you. Therefore, I'm going to rebuke you. I'm going to chasten you, not so you go away, but so you'll come back to me. I'm going to go find you. I'm going to go put you on my shoulder and bring you home. The heavens are going to rejoice because you have repented and come back to fellowship.
Amen.
Listen, repentance is the foundation of salvation, but it's also the beginning of restoration.
Yeah.
Amen.
But it's repentance from sin.
That's right.
In both cases.
That's right.
In both cases.
That's right.
Repentance comes from the heart of God. It's God's idea.
Amen.
It's coming. I'm preaching to you straight out of the Bible. It's God's idea that we repent. It's God's doctrine that we repent. It's God that's given us and brings repentance to our hearts. Romans chapter 2 talks about the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
That's right.
Repentance proceeds from the heart of a very gracious and loving God.
Yep.
Man, where would we be? I mean, we're so filthy.
Yep.
So vile. Repentance proceeds from the heart of God. Next, repentance places an ultimatum before the heart of man, though. An ultimatum. The difference between us, I just read to you in Luke chapter 15. The difference between us and that sheep is that we have to submit ourselves to that shepherd.
Yep.
See, that sheep, once he's found, he may a little bit. But that shepherd's just going to say, oh, shut your mouth. Get up here on my shoulder. Let's go back. But you and me, we're not exactly like that, are we? We try to turn away. We try to run. We try to ignore it. We try to find a place to hide. And see, we have to submit ourselves. We have to hear His voice and follow Him. That's how you got saved.
Amen.
You heard John chapter 10. Look over there. John chapter 10. Let's just jump down here to verse 11. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It says, he that's an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, that's the devil, seeth a wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. He's not worried about taking care of the sheep. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. That's sin. Amen. Sin comes and scatters and catches and destroys. The hireling fleeth. The false prophets flee. The wicked heart, it has nothing, cannot fight the wolf. He says in verse 14, I, though Jesus said, am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. I want you to look with me here at verse, let's see, jump down here for sake of time. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Amen.
And I give unto them eternal life. So that's how you got saved. You heard Jesus' voice. But listen, but you had to decide to follow Him.
Right?
Right? You had to decide, you had to submit yourself to that voice that called you unto salvation, that called you away from sin unto Jesus.
Amen.
And that's salvation. But understand something, that's the same principle for restoration. It's the same principle for revival.
All right.
That's right.
It's the same principle for you to get your heart right and to keep your heart right, is you hear His voice. He's the good shepherd.
Amen.
He's the only good shepherd.
Amen.
He's the chief shepherd. He's
the
shepherd of our souls, amen. He's the one, and He calls His sheep back to Himself.
Amen.
But we have to make choice.
Right. Yep.
There's no third option, you understand? I either go or I stay.
Right.
Yep.
That's an ultimatum. You know what an ultimatum is? It means you do this or else.
Yeah, that's right.
Luke 13:3 says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." There's no other choice. Salvation was you either repent or you perish. Restoration, revival is the same thing. You either repent or you dwell in out of fellowship with the Lord.
That's right.
Yep.
See, what we have today is a people that don't like ultimatums. We want a third option. You know what I mean? We want a multiple choice. Jesus.
Yeah.
But God, in Acts chapter 17, the Bible says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
Amen. Amen.
There's no, listen, you either do what God says or you don't.
That's right.
You can't keep playing around in the gray area. There's no gray area. If you're not following the Lord, if you're not responding to His voice, if you're not repenting of sin, even after salvation, there's still that old wicked heart that keeps wandering back into sin, back into the darkness. And when Jesus says, wait a minute, turn around and come back, you either do or you don't.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it. You don't have a third choice.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
How many times have you agonized in prayer trying to make deals with God?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on. Unless you just don't have any fellowship with Him, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you do, if you have a prayer life, if you walk with God, and you know there are times in your life where He says, you better stop that.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, brother.
And you try to deal with God. Bargain. Let's make a deal, God. All this, if you'll that, and all this. And God says, okay, look. I'm God here.
That's right. Amen, brother.
I created you.
That's right.
Do what I say.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right.
But we, you know, what we try to do is rationalize, justify, bargain, make ourselves. What we're trying to do is try to find a third option.
Yep, that's right.
I don't want to repent, Lord. God says, except you repent, our fellowship's going to perish. Except you repent, I'm on the outside.
That's right.
It could be sin. It's always sin. It could be the sin of, you know, like I said on Wednesday night, it could be the sin of all kinds of things that we think about, you know, the alcohol and drugs and fornication and immoral, but it also could be the sin of just not obeying God.
Yep, that's right.
Just not being faithful to church.
Yep, amen.
I mean, there are so many people today who think that church is an option. They don't understand. It's not an option. Jesus bled and died for His church. This is where He wants you to be. This is where He has placed you for a reason. And He says, look, you need to not forsake the assembling of yourself together. When it's time to be here, you be here. And that's what God wants for your own sake. But listen, when you decide to do it otherwise, then you're making a big mistake.
Yeah, everybody.
You're walking away from the fellowship. You're walking out of the fellowship. There's nothing better than Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
There's nothing better than Jesus.
That's right.
There's nothing more important than Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, how I wish I could make you understand. Nothing. This repentance places an ultimatum and lays it right before your heart. That's why the preaching of this book, the Bible says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the Word of God. The Word of God. Because, again, repentance comes from God. And repentance comes to the heart, of calling out to the heart of man, come back to me. My sheep hear my voice. But they have to make a choice.
Amen.
I remember so many times. I mean, you know, we're all human. We all have wicked hearts of sinful iniquity. We want, our flesh wants to sin.
That's right.
The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Right.
Our flesh wants to sin. Our flesh wants to go back and enjoy the pleasures of sin. It's because we're ignoring the voice of God. It's because we're out of fellowship with God. You can't be right with God and desire sin.
Yeah.
If you desire sin in the least bit, you're not right with God.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. I'm not right with God if I desire anything that takes me away from Him.
Yeah.
Repentance proceeds from the heart of God. Repentance places an ultimatum before the heart of man. Repentance prepares my heart for God's grace. See, listen to me. All sin is rebellion against God.
That's right.
Yep.
All sin is rebellion against God. It's a transgression of the law of God. Psalm 51 verse 4, David said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." Every sin is against God.
Amen.
Repentance is always toward God because I've sinned against Him.
Yep.
But once I choose to repent, listen now, this is good. It's all good, but I want you to listen to this and catch this. Once I choose to repent of my sin because God has spoken to my heart, then my heart is prepared to receive His grace.
Amen.
And then I can be reconciled unto Him.
Amen.
I've lived the same life you lived, in the same body of flesh, the same body of death, the same wicked heart. I have the same one you do. And my sinful nature, my sinful flesh, still chases after sin sometimes just because I, for whatever reason, let's just be honest, whatever reason we find ourselves in the throes of temptation, and we even if we take one step that direction, it's, "Oh, Lord God, forgive me." And then when I repent, I can't restore my fellowship to Him. Just like my salvation is all due to His grace.
Amen.
Yes. I repented of my sin and His grace gave me eternal life. It's the same thing with revival, with restoration. Again, He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He says, "If any man will hear my voice,"
yep.
And He says, "then I will come in unto him." See, you can't make Him come in.
That's right.
You simply hear His voice and repent and say, "Yes, God." And then He comes in.
Yep.
That's salvation, but that's also restoration.
Amen.
That's God moving on our behalf. That's God responding to our repentance in grace. You know, when I got saved, obviously I didn't deserve to be saved. I did not deserve to be reconciled unto God. But understand something. When I wander like a dummy out of his fellowship, I don't deserve to be restored.
All right.
I deserve to be. Look, you had your chance.
Yes, yeah,
that's right.
Amen.
But understand something. His grace is always there,
amen,
waiting to restore me when I repent.
Amen.
Salvation is so much more than heaven, guys. It's so much more than heaven. It starts the day I repent and He saves me. From that day forward, I have Jesus. I have victory. I have His grace. I'm reconciled, ransomed. Listen, it's all about, listen, John 17:3 says, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God." It's not heaven.
That's right.
It's that I might know the only true God.
Yes.
Yep.
Now, let that sink in for a minute. It's not just throwing our hands up and shouting about heaven. No, no, no. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God. When I repent of sin and I come back to Jesus as a Christian for restoration, I just admit that I'm wrong, that you're right, then His grace is there again.
Praise God.
And it's there again.
Amen.
And it's there again. And it's there again.
Thank you, Lord.
And it's there again. Repentance always produces visible evidence. When I get saved, it's obvious. But listen to me. When I'm restored, I'm different.
Amen.
When I'm restored, I'm different. See, when my heart's changed, the life has changed. And because out of the heart, the Bible says, are the issues of life. Repentance changes my destiny, yes. But it changes my desires. It changes my direction. Repentance changes my purpose. It changes my personality. And it changes my plans. Repentance changes my heart. Repentance also changes my hands and my hope. Repentance changes my attitude. It changes my actions and my associations.
Yeah. Come on.
See, there's visible evidence of repentance. True, heartfelt repentance. Look at Matthew 21. I'm almost done, I promise you. Stay with me. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 28. Matthew 21, verse 28. "But what thank ye," Jesus says. "A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard. Go serve me today.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward," what did he say? He what?
Repented.
He repented and went.
Amen.
A total change.
Amen.
He said, "I will not." But listen, God worked repentance in his heart and he changed and went.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. That has nothing to do with salvation. That has to do with serving God.
Amen.
He said, "Go serve me in my vineyard. Go work today. Go work in my vineyard. Go win souls. Go hand out gospel tracts. Go to the mission field. Go preach the gospel. I will not." See, that's when you fight. But when you repent, you change.
Yep.
Look in Luke 15. One more time. Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 14. The prodigal son here, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now listen to me, God brought that famine. God brought that famine in that boy's life. God made that boy go and join himself to us and start feeding pigs, hogs. Verse 16, "He would fain have filled his belly with the husk the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Listen, God took care of that. Nobody's going to give you anything, boy, because you are out of the will of God. You are in sin.
Amen.
God was working. Look, and then in verse 17, "And when he came to himself," by the way, it might be a good idea for you to listen to verse 16. If you want to be involved in helping people repent, quit giving them everything they want.
Amen.
You're promoting their sin.
That's right.
You're enabling their sin.
Amen.
Why don't you be a little bit, you know, called tough love, and say, "Look, I'm not giving you everything you want."
Amen.
Right.
You're never going to come back to God that way.
Right.
Let God deal with them. You stop feeding them when they need God to deal with them.
Amen.
That's free.
Amen.
Verse 17. When he came to himself, why? Because God was doing everything around him to change this boy. He came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Hunger is a powerful motivator. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned, notice, against heaven. Every sin is against God.
That's right.
And before thee. I want you to understand something. That's repentance.
Amen.
That boy had left the father's house. That boy had left the will of God. That boy had run out on everything that was right and righteous. That boy was not in God's will. That boy was serving the devil with every ounce of his life, every fiber of his being. But God was working repentance.
Amen. Amen.
And when God worked repentance and he finally repented, then the grace of God said, now get up, boy. Go to daddy. Look what happened. He says, he arose in verse 20 and came to his father. When he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's the grace.
Amen.
When you repent, there's more grace. But listen, repentance will always bring about visible evidence. You're not going to stay in the hog pen.
Sure.
Amen.
Yep.
And the grace of God is going to be there with open arms.
Hey.
Say, come home. Come home. See, when I repent, God's doing it. God's loving me back to himself. God's loving me back to him, to his arms. And this sums it all up right here. God brings about all of these things in my life that I can't. And finally, I repent. Because I have an ultimatum. I either stay here in the hogs or I go home.
Yeah, that's right.
Any other thing is not going to work. I've got a choice. I'm going home. Okay. And see, that repentance brought about the grace of God. With visible evidence, he went home. And there was the grace of God waiting for him.
Amen.
That's salvation, folks. Once and forever.
Amen.
But when you drift away, that's restoration.
Amen.
Same God, same grace,
amen.
But it requires repentance.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we love you tonight. Oh, we don't.